This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are living through some difficult times, and so therefore it is very important for us to keep connected with our foundation. And our foundation is the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, having said that, I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself, do we really love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I know the question may sound like a silly question to you, because of course we are Muslims, so of course we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I want you to really think about this and say, do I really love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And like answering any such question, if the answer is yes or no, whichever it is, the thing to do is to say, what is the evidence of that? So if I say that I truly and truly love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what is the evidence for that? This is not to show anybody else, it is for myself. I need to know the evidence. I need to know why I say that I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. And one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no doubt about this, and He Jalla Jalaluhu will ask us, when He does, when we meet Him, and when He asks us, what is the answer that we will give Him? I think this is a very important thing that we need to ask ourselves and have that evidence in our lives. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam His ni'mah. He called Him His blessing on us believers. And that is why it is so critical to know who Rasulullah ﷺ was, and to appreciate Him and to love Him. Love for Rasulullah ﷺ is not an option. It's not something that you can have or you can leave it alone and not have. It is a part of our iman. And without it, it is impossible to be a Muslim. Now, this is not my opinion. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself stated in His kalam, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that in His teachings in the Ahadithun Nabawiyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayat of Surah Tawbah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul in kana aba'ukum wa abna'ukum وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيل فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, say to the believers, say to the Muslims, say to everybody, say, if your fathers, meaning here, anytime these kinds of statements are made, both genders are included. Say, if your fathers, meaning fathers and mothers, your sons, meaning sons and daughters, your brothers, meaning brothers and sisters, your wives, meaning wives and husbands, your families, your kindred, your extended families, all those who are related to you, no matter how distantly and no matter how, in which way, the wealth that you have accumulated, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce, your businesses in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings, the houses which you have built, and you look at them and you feel very happy, in which you delight. If all of these things are dearer to you, if you love them more than you love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you and loving the work of the Deen of Allah, striving hard in His cause, these three things, if you love these more than you love Allah, If you love these more than you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you love these more than striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah then says, then go and wait. Go away, Allah does not need you. Allah says, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His decision of torment and punishment on you. And Allah does not guide the people who are al-fasiqoon, who are rebellious and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to reflect on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all those relationships and possessions which are not only dearest to us, but which are permissible, they are permitted, and as, for example, in the cases of parents and children and so on, being good to them, serving them, are rewardable. Allah will reward us when we do that, inshallah. But in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that even though these are permissible, even though they are rewardable, if you love them more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah, then go away and wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? If we love these things more than we love Allah, more than we love Rasulullah, and more than we love striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah said, Allah has no need for you, and go and wait for the punishment of Allah. Allah promised to punish, and Allah then further said, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. Allah does not guide the rebellious people. Meaning that if you love these things more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and striving in the path of Allah, then you will be counted among the rebellious people and you will be liable to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from His punishment. My brothers and sisters, the thing to understand is the reason why we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way. It is not only because he was the most lovable of people. That is a bonus. We love him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to love him. And because obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the condition of entering Jannah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah said, only the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only that person will achieve ultimate success, which is Jannah. Joyful obedience, fulfillment of our life's purpose, meaning obeying as if by obeying we are fulfilling the life's, our life's purpose, seeing obedience as being the life, being the purpose of our lives, can come only through love, not through fear. And that is why we must know who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, to know him, to love him, and to try to become like him. The question is, let me ask you this question, which is, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks into our masjid right now, just now, imagine. If you want, shut your eyes and think about this. And say, Rasulullah ﷺ just walked into our masjid just now. And we look at him. How many of us will say, wow, that's an impressive man. I wonder who he is. Right? And how many of us will say, Wallah, Subhanallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Rasulullah. And how many of us will say, Wallah, Subhanallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Rasulullah, Laqad sharraftana ya Sayyiduna, Marhaba bikum ya Habiballah. How many of us will say that? My brothers and sisters, obviously that depends on whether we recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. This is a strange thing to say to Muslims who rely upon his shafa'ah, who rely upon his intercession on the Day of Judgment, and who look forward to that, and who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the meeting with Him on His house Al-Kawthar, and who hope to follow Him over the Sirat, and who seek His company in Jannatul Firdaus. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for all of this, for all of you. The question is, how appropriate is it if despite wanting all these things, we cannot recognize Rasulullah when we see him because we don't know him? The tragic reality is that most Muslims do not know what Rasulullah looked like. To add insult to injury, the seerah of Rasulullah is not taught as a specific, distinct subject, even in our madaris. I have never understood the reason or logic for this, nor have I understood the response that many ulama have given me, that Rasulullah's life and appearance and conduct is learned by students while studying his ahadith. My question is the life of Rasulullah not important enough to be studied by itself? Especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to emulate him and promised his love, Jalla Jalaluhu, for those who do that. How can we emulate someone we don't know? Why must we believe that for something like this, something so critical, it is sufficient to learn it by the way, instead of focusing on it totally for the purpose of knowing with the intention of following him? My brothers and sisters, so what would we see when we looked at him? I'm quoting from various ahadiths of Shama'il Muhammadiyah, also called Shama'il Tirmidhi, compiled by Imam Muhammad bin Isa al-Tirmidhi, the student of Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, about whom his teacher, Sayyidina Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Bukhari said about Imam Tirmidhi, who was his student, he said, "I have benefited more from you than you have benefited from me." Now this shows the caliber and the position of Imam Tirmidhi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Of course, it also shows the generosity and humility of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with love of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love for His ulama ul haq, the great scholars of this deen who dedicated their lives, and the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thanks to whom we know today what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked like. So now, my brothers and sisters, imagine this. He just entered our masjid. Look at him. What do you see? The first thing I would say is that you would become aware of a beautiful aroma, like the most beautiful scent that will completely permeate the atmosphere. And that is the perfume, the natural perfume of Al-Mustafa, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what will you see? You see a man of wheatish complexion, looking at whom fills your hearts with such awe and majesty that you automatically lower your gaze and you are unable to look at his glorious countenance because of the haybah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on him. Then when you gain some courage and you look up, you see a face that glows with inner light, as if the rays of the sun are reflected from it. You see a face that is brighter and more glorious than the full moon on the 14th of the night of the month. The night of the 14th. Eyes that are set wide apart, but not too wide, with pupils that are very dark, surrounded by the sclera, which is very white. Eyebrows long and arched, but not joined together, and long eyelashes. You will see his truthfulness, his intelligence, and his kindness reflected in and shining in those eyes as he looks at you. You will love him, as did everyone who looked at him with faith in their hearts. He was a medium height, neither too tall and lanky, nor too short and stocky. But when he was among people, he always appeared to be the tallest. His head, beautifully proportioned, neither too big nor too small, neither square nor round, but in between. His hair, very dark and thick and wavy, coming down to his earlobes. His neck, long but not too long, and beard, thick, black, and down to the middle of his chest. He had a vein in his temple, which became visible when he was angry. It would swell and throb, but inshallah, you will not see that. His mouth, wide, always with a smile that illuminated the world. His teeth, beautiful, shining, with a slight gap between the middle incisors, a sign of beauty. His shoulders, wide and muscular, with a full chest and no protruding belly. His arms, not too long, not too short, but proportionate, muscular, and powerful. His bones and joints, large and strong, but not excessively large. His legs, strong and powerful. His palms and the soles of his feet, fleshy. He walked with purpose, leaning slightly forward, relatively fast, but not arrogantly. He used to lean slightly forward as if descending from a mountain. He wore a turban tied over a helmet or a cap, or sometimes just wound around his blessed head without anything underneath it. His shirt, long, extending below his knees, but not all the way down to the ankles, with a slit on either side. His trousers, wide, ending above the ankles, just below the middle of his calves. The purpose of both was to give complete freedom of movement to the limbs. Listen carefully, O people, because you want to recognize him when you see him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you say salam to him in person. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you meet him on his house, Al-Kawthar, and that you greet him there and he returns your greeting. I ask myself and you, what then will we say to him? Especially about what we did to his deen after him. Let us see how his sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, loved him, because the sahaba are our gold standard. Narrated Abbas Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the Khadimul Mustafa, the personal servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who spent 10 years of his life in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who said, I saw the brightest day in Medina and I saw the darkest day in Medina. They asked him which day. He said the brightest day was the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came from Makkah to Medina, and the darkest day was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. This Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates and said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you will have faith, none of you will have iman till he loves me more than his father, his children, and all of mankind. And this hadith is in Bukhari. None of you will have faith until he loves me more than he loves his father, meaning father and mother, his children, and all of mankind. You can see how this hadith reflects directly from the ayat of Surah At-Tawbah, which I recited before you already. In another hadith in Bukhari also, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, a man came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the day of judgment, about the hour, saying, when will the hour be, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, what have you prepared for it? The man said, nothing, ya Rasulullah, except that I love Allah and I love his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, you will be with those whom you love. You will be with those whom you love. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, we meaning the Sahaba, have never been so glad as we were on hearing that saying of Rasulullah, that is, you will be with whom you love. Therefore, Anas bin Malik continues, he said, therefore, I love Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not like theirs. Now, this is a statement of humility of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, because the Sahaba are each of them unique in themselves, and each of them is somebody about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is pleased with them. There is no praise higher than that for anybody in this world. It is related that a man came to Rasulullah and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my family and my possessions. Meaning, I love you more than anybody else and anything else. I remember you and I cannot wait until I can come and look at you. I remember that I will die and you will die. And I know that when you enter Jannah, you will be raised up with the prophets. When I enter it, I will not see you. Imagine this man, he is saying that when I enter Jannah, the pleasure of Jannah means nothing to me if I cannot see you. See, this is the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is saying that Jannah itself has no meaning for me if it does not contain Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that if I don't have access to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I cannot sit in his company, if I cannot see him, if I can't talk to him, if I can't say salam to him, that Jannah has no value for me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept silent. He didn't say anything to him until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah later, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِئِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. The prophets, the nabiyyin, the siddiqeen, the people of truth, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin, the righteous people. And such people are the best of company. Ulaika hasuna ulaika rafiqa. When this ayat was revealed, Rasulullah ﷺ called that man and he recited this ayat to him. What a beautiful bashara. This shows us that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be proven by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is no obedience, there is no love, no matter how much we may claim to the contrary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among those who loved and obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dream in this life and meeting with Him on the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the best example for all of humankind to follow for those who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. And Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا for whom? لِمَنْ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes in the meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. To love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not about singing anashid and holding meetings on some date in Rabiul Awal. It is about living our lives according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. It is about emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything that we say or do. In our appearance, our actions, our dealings, our worship, our society, our families, our relationships, it is to change ourselves and our beliefs and our attitudes and our actions and our speech and so on. It is to change our occupations, our fashion, our friends and our social lives. It is to do whatever it takes to ensure that our lives reflect the beauty, the goodness and the glory of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the reward for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all of mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Then follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Then what will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Emulate me, imitate me, follow me. Oh, what will happen if you do that? Allah will love you. Allah will love you. And He will forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. I want you to sit quietly and reflect on this. What is the meaning of Allah will love you? What will it mean in your life? What will it mean in the context of whatever anxiety you are currently living with? How will it help you in this world? And what is the benefit of being the beloved of Allah when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment? I want to end with a final hadith which tells us why we can't but love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That hadith is by none other than our mother, Ummul Mumineen, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Al-Siddiqa bint Siddiq. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha reported, one day when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a cheerful face, I saw him looking happy, I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me. Please make dua to Allah for me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Allah, forgive Aisha for her past and future sins, sirran wa alaniya, in secret or in public. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I laughed so much, I was so happy, I laughed so much that my head fell from his lap. So maybe she was lying down on his lap and she was so happy with this dua that her head slipped from his lap and was on the floor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, does my dua make you happy, Ya Aisha? Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, why would your dua not make me happy? Such a beautiful dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, By Allah, this is my dua for my ummah in every salah, in every prayer. And this is in Sahih Ibn Hibban. How can you not love somebody who made this dua for you, in every salah? Let us work for this dua to come true for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and grant you the company of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.